If you've got a Bible, you might want to have it open at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 4, where we heard the scriptures being read from. And they may give you a hint of where I am going. It's coming to that time of year when chocolates will be in every supermarket, although they have been for a while, haven't they? You go in and you have the piles of celebrations and the piles of heroes. And I saw a great picture this week where they had piles of these chocolates, and above it was an advert for having your diabetes checked at the same time. It just seemed like they placed this stuff at the wrong place. But I have a problem with celebrations and heroes. I don't like them all. You see, you get a box of heroes, and I've got about three of my favourites in there, and the rest, I don't like them. I don't know why they put them in. And then celebrations is the same, except I like even less celebrations. Why don't they just do boxes of chocolates that are full of the ones I like? That I can just to put aside the others. I don't like them. They're a waste of space. They're a waste of time. And we treat very often our faith in God exactly like that. I like this part, but I don't like this part. I like what God's commanded me here, but I don't like what he's commanded me there. And we treat it a bit like a pick and mix, where we can go in and just take our favourites. What I have learned that is at Lakeside now, you can go and you can have your box of heroes made according to exactly which parts you like, and you haven't got to have the whole. And I haven't yet convinced Vicky to take me to Lakeside yet. Mind you, she takes more convincing me to go to Lakeside. So. But we do treat very often our faith with the bits we like. And the bits we don't like, we leave them aside or we reject them. Paul writing to Timothy here. We're going to go a bit more in depth in this passage. But Paul writing to Timothy. And remembering this is Paul's final words to his student, Timothy, who he's brought on as a pastor, a leader in the church. The apostle has invested in this guy, and he's spending some time just talking to him. And thank you, Grace, for reading this. But earlier on, it's sort of been contrasting what the world's like to what the church is like, what the faith is, and how in the world there are troubles, and in the world there are those who reject things of God, and there will be people who are doing things that just are totally against all things of God. And I suppose if we look at our world today, we'd say, well, that's exactly true today. It's exactly what it's like now, isn't it? People doing things, lovers of things that are just against God's teaching. Paul warns against false teachers, and we'll come back to that in a moment. But the fact that even in the church, there are those who are preaching and teaching things that are not in Scripture. And then there's that other thing that's maybe just annoys me. Those pithy statements that people make as that is a fact because it's a nice 10 words put together, but don't have their roots in Scripture, but make them out to be this is the latest teaching we need to take notice of. Paul, writing to Timothy, is saying something deep to Timothy about you've got to be different. This following Jesus is a costly following. This following Jesus at times will cause you to be unpopular. This following Jesus at times will mean you will have to do that which you do not want to do, and to stop doing some of the things you want to do. It is a challenge that faces us as individuals and faces the church and faces the way that the church engages with the world. The big accusation against the church in the media is that the church is out of date, or the church has not caught up with culture, and the church is so out of step. Let me just be clear on this. Yeah, the church is out of step with culture. Doesn't mean the church is wrong. It might mean culture's wrong. The church has never been culturally relevant. Even in the first century, the teachings of the church upset those who were outside the church. Even when Christ was walking this earth and he started teaching, he was upsetting people. Jesus had those who left him and said, your teaching's too hard, we can't follow it. And they left. Yet for some reason we think as church we should be able to keep everybody. No, Jesus had that problem. The followers could not keep to the teaching. And the Bible is so clear, and Jesus' teaching is so clear on so many things. Let's dig into Timothy 3 and 4. We didn't read the first bit, but if you just scan it over that from verses 1 to 9, you see how Paul is writing to Timothy and said there will be terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound familiar? Just read your newspapers. Watch the tellies. Listen to people who are struggling with parenting and all these sorts of things. These are very much what Paul was writing about. It's going to happen, and it is happening. There is a rebellion against authority that goes on in the world. None of us like people telling us what to do, do we? We don't like it. Yet the Bible's quite clear. Here you are. You want to please God? This is how you live. This is how you live. And then as we get to the part which Grace started to read in verse 10, it starts off with those words, you, however. Paul is directing these statements to Timothy, you Timothy, but he could be directing it to any one of us. It's you, follower of Jesus, you, however. I've got to be different. You, however. It's the call upon the believers to be different. A call to imitate Christ. You, however, says Paul, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions. And he's saying to Timothy, follow me. You read the scriptures as a whole. The disciples are called to demonstrate and be like Christ. A disciple of Christ. What is a disciple? It's one who tries to imitate the master. Therefore, it's showing the same characteristics of the master. Therefore, by their fruits we should know them. By the fruits of the disciple, we should know if they are imitating Christ, if they are living his way. You get sometimes, even within Christian ministry and preachers, hate preaching. I never saw Christ hate preaching at anyone. He called to holiness, he called to a way to live, but he never called out hate. It has no place. But the very point about calling to holiness, calling to living as God has designed us to live, will cause people to react. But our call is to react in love, to react in kindness, even to that person who is really angry with us for saying something from what we believe the Bible says. So, the "you," however, in Paul's charge to Timothy, is about living differently. Living differently. But God never promised, as we go through this passage into verse 12, that following Jesus is going to be easy. Wouldn't it be lovely if it was? Follow Jesus and live happily ever. Excuse me, happily ever after. That would be a wonderful thing to do. If we could just live happily ever after and in peace, in quiet, no conflict, no issues, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Yet Paul himself was writing this at a time of him being persecuted. Him in trouble for preaching the word, for speaking the words of God. And Paul himself says everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That's comforting, isn't it? Not faced much persecution lately? Maybe we haven't because we're not living a godly life. We will face persecution. We will face conflict. And we will face all kinds of trouble. And Paul is quite clear about this as he speaks to Timothy. He's not sugarcoating it. There's no space of prosperity gospel here. Trust in Jesus and you will have a Rolls Royce. Not that Rolls Royces were around in New Testament times, but you get the idea. It's a call to holiness is also a call to trouble. Remember Jesus' disciples? We can't accept that teaching. We can't take up our cross. We're off. We're going. As we go down, it's a call to lifelong nurture and growing. And in verse 15 we read, "And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." That sense that actually Timothy, from his very birth, right through his life, has been nurtured upon the Scriptures. Of course, the Scriptures to him would have been the Old Testament. But how they had molded him and shaped him and grown him, and how when Christ came, he could see it from the Scriptures. Paul was saying to Timothy, keep growing. Keep growing in the Scriptures. Keep learning. Keep understanding more. Because it makes you wise for salvation. And obviously, as a pastor, it made him wise in the way he worked and lived out his calling. The Bible makes a lot of claims, doesn't it? If we had time this evening, we could go round. What are some of the real bold claims of the Bible, of Jesus? One might be, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to heaven yet by me. That's a bold claim, isn't it? It's also a politically incorrect claim today. But that doesn't make it less true. Verse 16 of 2 Timothy 3 has one of those bold claims. And it's a bold claim that we've got to say, do we accept this as truth? What's it say? All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed. Breathe. That's a bold claim. That's a bold claim. And that claim is saying if this scripture is God breathed, then we got to trust it. You can get stuck in all kinds of theological debates and discussions on this verse. Does that mean the Word of God is infallible or trustworthy or what? Well, as your pastor, I want to say my view is if the Bible says it, do it. If the Bible says don't do it, don't do it. And if the Bible's not clear, go carefully. Asking the Spirit to lead us. All scripture is God-breathed. That massive claim. And we've got to say, of course, as this was being written by Paul, he was referring to the Old Testament, but we've now accepted the canon of the New Testament, and we are saying and claiming the same about this. This Holy Spirit pen upon the tongues of the writers. And yes, Paul was probably narrating this, so I didn't get that quite wrong. But the Holy Spirit guiding. But the temptation is then to come to Scripture and try to make Scripture to agree with us. Have you tried that? I remember once I was asked to go to speak to a group of young adults. And the challenge I had was to speak about women in leadership. And I was given an hour. So I knew in this group there were some men there, young men, who wanted to just quote to me certain scriptures that said women should keep silent in church. So I went along with this. And for the first 45 minutes, I told them why women had no place in church. You can do it. Just pick and mix. Take out the Twix, leave the others. And just as I got them convinced that I was right, I said, shall we look at some of the other verses now? Shall we look at the role of women in the resurrection? Should we look at women like Lydia and Phoebe? And they ended up totally confused. But it was a lesson in, let's look at the whole of Scripture. Let's not cherry pick the verses we want, because all Scripture is God-breathed. But understanding Scripture means we have to, like Paul is saying to Timothy, become wise, understand the whole of Scripture and the context of the whole of Scripture. Why was it written? What was it written to? And how does that mean today? But we often want to shape the scripture to agree with our own prejudices or our own thinking. And we get back to this soundbite Christianity where we want to make a nice, neat statement as to that is it. Friends, God is far bigger than our understanding of life. And in our engagement with Scripture, we need to immerse ourselves in the whole of Scripture and let that whole of Scripture speak to us. We need to move away from soundbite Christianity that takes a nice, neat sentence that may or may not have come from the Bible and saying that's the final answer, to allowing the whole of Scripture start to speak to us. All Scripture is God-breathed. And what's it for? Teaching, training, and rebuking. We don't like that last one, though, do we? Rebuking. We love to be taught. Sometimes we like to be trained. But we don't like to be told when we have got it wrong. Going against Scripture is going against the will and desire of God. And we can come to the Bible and we can open the Bible with one of two minds on us. We can either read the Bible and ask it to agree with us, or we can come to the Scripture with genuinely open hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to lead us into truth. Jesus said in John's Gospel, when I've gone, I'm going to send another comforter, and he will lead you into truth, the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to do, is to be open that God will speak to us through the Scriptures, and those Scriptures will become our whole shaping of our life. Remember that old song? Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. Paul's letter to Timothy continues into chapter 4. Just remember when you're reading the Scriptures that the chapters weren't there in the originals. They were put in the 3rd century by a kind monk to help us navigate our way through it. But don't see them as part of the infallible. And sometimes that kind monk put the numbers in quite an awkward place. And this is one of those. It's a continuation. It's not a new chapter. It's not a new thought. Paul has been saying to Timothy, the whole Scripture is important. Focus on it. And then he comes to this chapter, or this next section. In the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of this appearing, his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. What a statement. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. What he's saying is so important to him. He's calling on the witness of God and Christ Jesus. He is saying, I am quite happy to say this in Christ's presence. Recognizing the authority of God here. Recognizing God's presence and Christ's presence right where he is. God is here. And that's that same, as we make statements, sometimes we need to be a bit more open to the fact that when we are making our bold statements, we make them in the presence of God. God is hearing. Just sometimes it's easy to convince people of anything, but we can't convince God. And sometimes if we just had more of a mind that God is hearing and God is present, we might be a bit more careful sometimes what we say to others. And then he says to Timothy, I give you this charge. In my previous role as a Baptist minister, when I was a regional minister, going from church to church, and I used to conduct many an ordination and many a induction. Sometimes it seemed to be induction season, where every weekend I was going from one induction and ordination to another induction and ordination, and sometimes I could actually do three or four in a weekend just by careful timing of each service so I could get around. And you get in there, and the number of times this passage was the key passage that was used. I give you this charge, a charge to a pastor, but it's a charge to us all. Preach the word. We often get preaching of ideas. And often there are those moments where a sermon has little rooting in Scripture. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, preach the word. The word is the Scripture. That's what we should be preaching. That's what we should be focusing our minds on. And there is enough in the Bible to keep us going for a few centuries. Don't worry, we're not going to run out of ideas just because we're focusing only on the word. But that's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the Bible. It's not about homilies. It's not about new ideas. It's preaching God's word that we've already just seen that Paul is saying to Timothy is God-breathed. So preach that which is God-breathed. Let that speak for itself. And then it goes on. Be prepared in season and out of season. Yes, there's times when preaching the word is so easy. And it feels like it's a fertile thing and there's fruit from it. But there's other times where actually preaching the word is like you're preaching and it's barren and there's nothing coming back. Well, let's keep preaching. Let's keep focusing on the word. Correct? Rebuke. Oh no, it's back to that Scripture again, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting. Do you see how this verse is immediately back to that verse that was there before? That's what Paul is telling Timothy as a pastor to do. It's exactly what the purpose of Scripture was for. There's a connection between the two there. And then with great patience and careful instruction. Patience. Oh, if only we had it now. And careful instruction. We need to be careful on how we use the Word of God and use it for its purposes, not ours. But Paul continues. For in a time it will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Yes, in the New Testament times, there was Gnosticism and all kinds of heresies already going on in the early church. Paul was aware of it. Paul had to write some letters quite harshly to some of the churches to put them right where they've gone away from the teaching of God. And it's still happening today. But Paul carries on. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of evangelists. And discharge all the duties of your ministry. We are called to stand firm, even when those around us are going off on their own channels. We are called to stand firm, even when we find the church is being criticized for being out of date or culturally irrelevant. We are called to stand firm even when we are in the firing line. Because friends, the church, if it keeps to the scripture, is going to attract the media. It's going to attract all kinds of criticism. And in some parts of the world today, the church is being shut down by the governments because the church is standing up for the scriptures. Don't be surprised when it starts to happen here. Don't be surprised when churches will lose their charitable status because the government or because the charity commissioners will say actually they're politically incorrect. Don't be surprised when these things are happening. Paul's warned us. The scriptures warned us. It's there. It will happen. But what's he say? Keep your head in all situations. Keep doing it. And then he goes on in the last part, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and my time of departure is near. I have fought the fight. I have run the race. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. What a testimony. A testimony of one who was not afraid to even face prison, stoning, torture, and ultimately death, to stand firm for his God. Paul concludes this section with what looks like the start of his obituary. He's starting to write his own, but it's also a statement of his life goal. Hold fast to the calling of God upon your life and upon his church. How do we respond? Because if we take this scripture seriously, the response is, yeah, okay, I'm in, I want to run. I think it's right, or I'd rather not be counted among that number. I want a quiet life. Does not come here. In our song we're going to sing in a minute, the one we began the service with, maybe those words now are slightly more powerful to you. Show me the way of the cross once again. Have we made the cross our faith, our following Jesus, that which we want in the shape that we would like it? Or have we taken on the whole of what God calls us to and say, yes, Lord, I will follow whatever you call me to be and do. In a few weeks' time, on the 1st of December, we've got baptismal service. And we're going to have a number of people baptized. And they're having that question, will you follow Jesus wherever he may call you to go? Do you give it all? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, offer your whole lives as living sacrifices. The trouble is with sacrifices is they tend to be sacrificed. And then it goes on, do not conform, in verse 2, do not conform to the teachings of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. On Wednesday, we're going to continue this theme a bit more as we talk about redeeming radical. What does it mean truly follow Christ? And what does it mean to be